Okay, Fevra, so we have to learn some Torah. Let's talk about this Gemara and all the problems that the Rambam created for us. Basically, the Gemara asks a kasha. Remember, Rabbi Avohu says that whenever the Torah uses the word achila, that means iser hana'a also. The Gemara asks, well, what about gid hanasha? How come gid hanasha, the Torah says, don't eat gid hanasha, and nonetheless, there is no iser hana'a? Right? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara answered, well, when the Torah has a heter for nevela, that heter for nevela includes gid hanasha also. Because when the Torah says, don't eat nevela, nevela means the entire animal. Gid hanasha is part of that entire animal. So consequently, the heter of nevela, the heter of hana'a that comes from the pasuk of nevela includes gid hanasha. And the Gemara says, well, one second, that only makes sense if you hold yesh begidim beno seintam. If you hold that there is taste in the gid hanasha. But if you hold that there's no taste in the gid hanasha, so what does that mean? There's no taste in the gid hanasha. You can't say that gid is included in the heter of nevela. So how does the Gemara answer? Nama, any thoughts? The Gemara asks, if you hold that ein begidin b'no seintam, so therefore the gid hanosha cannot be part of nevela. When the Torah says that nevela is mutter, that cannot include gid hanosha. So what am I going to do? How come gid hanosha is mutter b'hana'a? It's kind of a trick question. Yes, right? And hachanami, right? The Gemara says, according to the opinion that ain begidim, but no same time, that opinion has a name. It's called Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon says that gid hanasha actually is usur b'hana'a. Right? That is the Gemara in a nutshell. Now, we raised a question yesterday that this machlokas of whether yesh begidim, but no same time, or ein begidim beno seintam seems to be very difficult because we have to absolve our rabbis of indolence, right? Which means there can't be a machlokes in metzius. So what are we going to do with this? How are we going to say that there's a machlokes whether yesh begidim beno seintam or not? So the Maharam Chalava addresses this issue. What does Maharam Chalava say? Did anyone have a chance to take a look? Huh? Frimalanda, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Baruch Hashem. I liked your piece in the Observer about coming from Lakewood.
Oh, thank you.
but did anyone, this is a question that's not only for you, did anyone remember what the Maharam Chalava said? Maharam Chalava deals with this issue of how could there be a machlokas in metzius? How could it be that there is a machlokas whether yesh begidim beno seintam or ein begidim beno seintam that should go against all of Judaism as we know it? So Maharam Chalava said, anyone want to take a stab? The worst that will happen is they say you're wrong.
We would have to say something,
so
I'll have to be wrong.
Okay. So Maharam Chalava says that really the machlokas is what is included in gid hanasha. You know, the Gemara tells me that, again, if we would dissect an animal, we should actually ask for this. Like maybe now that while you was building labs, we should ask for a Gemara lab and like dissect animals and show gid hanashas. So there's the gid hapnimi and the gid hachitzon. There are two different gid hanashas. And there's also like knoknos, which are little sinews that jet out from that one nerve, that gid hanasha. Now, the Maram Chalava argues that the machlokas about whether yesh begidim b'naisin tam or ain begidim b'naisin tam is basically how far do you go? The Yed HaNosha itself has no taste. That's Eitz Ba'alma. But if you include in Yed HaNosha those little things that jut out, those knoknos, right? So then we could say that the knoknos have hana'a because they taste like something. So consequently, says the Maram Chalava, it's not that there's a machlokes in Mitzius, really. There's a machlokes in Halach. Machlokes is how far the Gid Hanashi goes. That's one approach. Now, that approach means that if you hold Ein Begidin Benosin Tam, there is mamish no tam in the Gid Hanosha. It does not taste like anything. That opinion is taking the line in the Gemara in Chulin that it's Eitz Ba'alma. It takes that line very seriously. And it says, Gid Hanosha mamish has no taste. The opinion that Yesh Begidin Benosin Tam just has an extended Gid Hanosha. Hi, Nama.
Select part of it?
Nachon, but all of that thing is called Gid Hanasha. So there is some Hana'a in Gid Hanasha because Gid Hanasha doesn't stop over here, it stops over here.
Right.
So you're right. So the bottom part of the Gid has no Hana'a, but since the whole thing is called Gid, right, so as a matter of halacha, I say there is Hana'a in Gid.
Okay.
It's not like, I think that's actually a relatively standard way of dealing with these types of questions. It sounds like it's a machlokas in Mitzias. No, it's a machlokas in Halacha. What's included in the subset? How does Rashi agree with this approach or does Rashi not agree? We sort of alluded to this Rashi last night. It feels like a million years ago, no? Rashi is the most important 25 minutes in Jewish history, from 1040 until 1105. Okay. Rashi, 25 minutes.
I really like that one.
Thank you.
I think Rashi was like morning recess and Rambam was afternoon recess or something like that.
That Rashi was what?
Morning recess. That's funny.
Okay, who said it that way? I like that. That works. How does Rashi agree with this? According to Rashi, remember Maram Chalava is saying that the man de Omer that ain begidin menosin tam is saying that there is zero tam, nothing, no tam at all in Gid Hanosha. Does Rashi agree or disagree? So Rashi actually says the key word a few times. Rashi says the key word. Look at the Rashi Dibra Masha Hanicha and the Rashi Dibra Masha El Alamanda Amar. Tam Basar, right? Is that what Rashi says? That means the opinion that Ein Begidin B'Nosein Tam does not mean that the Gid Hanosha tastes like nothing. Does it taste like Basar or not taste like Basar? That's correct. Right? According to Rashi, Ein Begidin B'Nosein Tam does not mean it has no taste. It means it has some sort of taste, but the taste is not the same as meat.
But isn't that still a machlokas in Mitzias?
So is there a machlokas in Mitzias? So kind of, sort of, but maybe not. Let me explain. Many Rishonim have an expression. The Rashba has this on Daf Tzadi Beis and Chulin. And it's likely, I would say, that this is what Rashi means, that Ein Begidah Benosein Tam means it has a Tam Kolosh, a weak flavor. What I would argue is that maybe what Rashi means is that the Gid Hanosha doesn't have Tam Basar, as opposed to the rest of the animal has Tam Basar. It doesn't mean that, right? There is flavor. It doesn't have strong meat flavor. But the man da'amar yesh begidim benosin tam would say that the flavor that it has is strong enough to be called meat. You know, sometimes you have something that... I'm just trying to think of a good example. You water it down enough times that it barely has any flavor left. It's a tam kolosh. It's a very weak flavor. My guess is, again, I'm surmising, I'm making this up. I'm not sure this is what Rashi means. But one thing that is clear from Rashi is that the man da'amar ein begidim benosin tam is saying that it has some flavor. It doesn't have tam basa, right? Abigail, that much you agree with. That's clear in Rashi. Then we have another question. Isn't it still machlokas and metzias? So the answer might be that the machlokas is, does it taste like meat or not, in the sense of it has a very faint meat-like taste? It might not be enough to be considered tam basar. Or maybe it is enough. It's watered down. Yeah, the story in Yerushalayim goes that a woman once came to the Rav with a Shaila. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin was Rabbi Yerushalayim. She poured milk accidentally into the chalent. So Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin said, I can't answer the Shaila yet, bring me the milkman. So the guy who made the milk was called in. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin says to him, tell me, how much water do you add to the milk? In other words, if you want to make a cheshbin whether the milk is batul b'shishim in the chalent and sav eich mahol b'mayim, right? So then it's going to be, right? So that's the idea. It could still taste like milk, but it's very watered down. It would be so watered down, it doesn't taste like milk at all. But that could be the issue of the get hanosha. It has a faint flavor of, Now, based on this, we can begin to analyze the Rambam. Because the Rambam tells me that even though the Rambam paskins in Perek Ches, Halacha, right, the Rambam paskins in Perek Ches, Halacha, Tesvav, the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Avohu, the Kol Makom Shenemar, Lo Tocha, Lo Tochu, etc., that implies Isser Hanoah. And the Rambam Perek Ches Halacha Yudala Paskins that Gid Hanosha is Mutter Bahana'a. Now, one second. Gid Hanosha is Mutter Bahana'a. How could that be? Oh, that's only true if you hold Yesh Begidin Benosin Tam. But the Rambam Paskins Ain Begidin Benosin Tam. If Ain Begidin Benosin Tam, so Gid Hanosha should be Osir Bahana'a based on our Gemara, right? Where did I see the Rambam passes and begin them at the same time? So, did I not give that to you? One second.
I did not see it. I mean,
the Rambam, throughout the halachos, throughout Perek Ches, talks about if you eat a kezayis gid hanasha, you get malchus, etc. Where does the Rambam say beferish that gid hanasha is? Where the Rambam say beferish that ain begidin the no same time? Let's take a look. I thought I gave it to you. Turn to Perek Tesvav Macholos Asuros. Perek Tesvav Macholos Asuros. Where is this one? 1 second. Abigail. 1 second. Wait, you want to know where's the round say Gid Hanush's Mutter Bahana? That's your question?
No.
Oh, where does the Rambam say that ain't beginning in the same time? I'm sorry?
No, what's the Rambam?
Right, Mutter Bahana is the Farish. Where does the Rambam say ain't beginning the no same time? Perek Tesvav of Macholos Asuros. Okay, Perek Tesvav. I probably should have assigned this one as well. But let me. Perek Tesvav Halacha Yud Zayin. Right, the Rambam tells me Tesvav Yud Zayin. She'ari sum shebetorah like basar shkutzim or ramasim chelav and dam we're mashair b'shishem, right? We make the cheshbon of shishem, right? By all the isurim in the Torah, pachos mishishem it's aser. Shumen hagid is aser b'shishem. That means the fat around the gid hanasha is shishem. Hagid atzmo ein misharin bo ve'eno oser. She'ain begidim b'no same time, right? The Rambam Perek Tesvav Halacha Yud Zayin, right? Ain begidim b'no same time.
What does he mean when he says
Eino Oser? Eino Oser means if I cook Gid Hanasha with my noodles, it does not make my noodles trade. Enjoy your noodles, right? Yummy noodles. But so Gid Hanasha. Ain't beginning b'no same time, and the afilu hachi, the Rambam paskins that gid hanosha is mutter b'hanoa. That should not work. So, how can we answer this Rambam? So many of the mafarshim, or we'll go in order. I'm going to give four approaches to answer this Rambam. That's my plan. Approach number one is found in the Magid Mishnah. In Perek Ches over there, Halacha Yud Daled. The Rambam writes, the Magid Mishnah writes, everyone knows that when it's a Machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, he passed like Rabbi Yehuda. And even though in the Gemara we say that if you hold Ein Begidim B'no Same Time, it's Asa B'Hana'ah, and we paskin Ein Begidim B'no Same Time, Kivartire Taramban, de la Ravka de Milsa is Amra Hahisagya. La Ravka de Milsa mean just for an additional reason. The real reason is not the Gemara on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. The Ramban does not clarify what he means, but basically what he's saying is the Gemara that we just had on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph is not telling us the real reason. Many of the Mefarshim comment that what the Ramban means is that when we'll get to Chof Gimel Amid Beis, we'll see a totally different cheshbon about learning out from Chelev, etc. And the Ramban is basically saying, forget about Chof Beis Amid Aleph. Once we'll get to Chof Gimel Amid Beis, the whole thing is immaterial. That's approach number one. Not so exciting, but it's there. That's like one of the official approaches in Judaism. Approach number two is something I showed you from the Rebbe Chanan Wasserman, from the Kobetz Shiurim. And Abigail was sort of alluding to this yesterday. And Tosfos kind of alludes to this a little bit, although we'll have to get to it backwards. If you hold like Rabbi Avohu, Rabbi Avohu says that when the Torah uses the word achila, that means echad isar achila ve'echad isar hanoa. That means both achila and hanoa. Why? Why is that? So the official answer is because Rabbi Avohu understands that achila is an example of hanoa. If that's the case, so then when I have the type of achila that has no hanoa in it, that achila cannot be an example of hanoa. Meaning, the answer for the Rambam is that the Rambam would tell me, sure, the Gemara says if you paskin ein begidin benosein tam, it's going to be usur b'hanoa. But I, Rambam, am telling you that it doesn't work because the isur hanoa is an outgrowth of the isur achila. The isur hanoa is because the Torah uses the term achila, and that word achila is an example of hanoa. But if there's really no hanoa, so then it can't be that it's usur b'hanoa. Right? So far, so good?
No, I'm confused. I'm just not getting that.
Okay, so let's go relatively straightforward. According to Rabbi Avohu, why is it that when the Torah says lo tolcha, why does it mean isur hanoa? Hanoa is a form of achila. Why? Because when I eat, I enjoy it. So achila is an example of hanoa. If that's the case, if I have the type of achila which is not an example of hanoa, if I have the type of achila that is not hanoa, so it cannot be that achila will yield an isur hanoa. So far, so good? So the Rambam is going to paskin that ein begidin b'no sein tam. Therefore, when the Torah says lo tochal, it does not mean isur hanoa.
So what if... Okay.
Now, let the Gemara says the opposite. Right? The answer might be that the Rambam and the Gemara are disagreeing about what ein begidin b'no sein tam means. Do you want to flesh that out? You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, because if it's something else, if it just tastes like something else, like if we're going by Rashi, with Rashi, and it tastes like something else, then you can still get hanoa from it, even if it's not.
Nachon. In other words, the Rambam is going to say that ein begidin b'no sein tam means it has no taste. If it has zero taste, nothing, garnish, nada, zilch. So then, there cannot possibly be an isur hanoa, because the isur hanoa has to be an outgrowth of the achila, and the achila is a form of hanoa. But this achila don't taste like anything. The Gemara says, if you hold ein begidin b'no sein tam, there is an isur hanoa. That might be because the Gemara is using that word, that expression of ein begidin b'no sein tam, differently than the Rambam is using it. This is actually a fairly nice approach. Again, I said that Rebbe Chanan says this. If you read Rebbe Chanan, you won't see it completely, but you'll see the skeletal structure of it. And Rebbe Asher Weiss develops it further. Adina?
Isn't this kind of like controversial to then say that Rambam is like disagreeing with the Gemara?
So I don't know if the Rambam is disagreeing with the Gemara. The Rambam is using the word ein begidin b'no sein tam to mean something different than what the Gemara says it means. It's not like a machlokes.
Like, why can Rambam just do that?
Why doesn't the Rambam say that?
No, like, why is something like, how can he just redefining the word?
Yeah.
But like, is it, like, don't we have a definition in the Gemara? How can he then refine it?
Uh-huh. So your question is, Shouldn't the Rambam be bound by the Gemara? And the Gemara's definition of in beginning, middle, same time means it has a little bit of flavor, right? So, again, I'm not sure. I don't know how to deal with those questions. If you're a real brisker, you say that you don't really care what the Gemara says, you care what the Rambam said. I don't know.
But then there's no problem, because if he's going outside of the...
He's working outside...
He's solving his own problem, so then it doesn't matter.
I think that's correct. I think the Rambam, to some extent, and this is one of the tainas that the Chachmi Lunil had on the Rambam is creating a halachic system outside of the Gemara, right? The Rambam felt you don't need to learn Gemara, just take my book or my 14 books and learn them and you'll know everything. And yeah, right? So the fact that the Rambam is against the Gemara, I think this is the standard Brisker methodology, that they'll look at the Rambam on the own, right? And if the Rambam is internally consistent and the logic works, that's all I need. Oh. So that is another approach. Let's go for, yes, Nama, how are you?
So what about the different kinds of Hana that we talked about earlier? So the rock meaning is just like not really applicable here?
The Hana of Hanas Me'ayim versus Hana'as. Yeah, so that's another way of saying this same idea. In other words, we could say that according to the Gemara, when I say Ein Begidim Menosein Tam, that means that there is going to be an Isar Hana'ah because ultimately there is some benefit in your stomach. And once there's some benefit, and it could be that the Rambam says the benefit that comes in my stomach, I don't care about. All I care about is the benefit in your mouth. That's another way of saying the same idea.
So it solves the problem either way. It
solves the same problem either way, right? Either what we were saying last night, I don't know, after Shia, towards the end of the Shia, after the part of the Shia that was recorded, because as we know, the Wi-Fi went out, Rahman al-Utslan, but that's another way of getting to the same idea. Tonight, I just prefer to focus on it because I have this Rashi. Let's do another Rambam. Perek Aleph of Chametz u'Matzah Halacha Beis. Did any of you take a look at this Rambam? Okay, pull out the Rambam. First chapter of Unleavened Bread and Leavened Bread. Second law. Sounds so bad in English. First type of Chametz u'Matzah Halacha Beis. In Zmanim. It should be right there. And so there's another Rambam right underneath it. Right underneath the Franco Rambam, there's a whole shelf of Rambams. There should be a Zmanim. Okay? Perek Aleph of Chametz u'Matzah Halacha Beis. What does the Rambam tell me? There's a lot of Rambams on the top shelf, no? On the shelf. There's a, yeah. Thank you. Oh, by the way, ladies, we haven't yet discussed whether there's going to be a midterm. We should discuss that at some point. I'm inclined not to.
Not to discuss it or not?
No, I mean, I think that was the discussion. Does anyone want a midterm? No. Okay, what I'd like to do, though, is try to put together some Chazara questions for you so that you'll have a way of reviewing what we've done. The only good thing about a midterm is that you Chazar. Okay, what is the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis? Right, so Chametz on Pesach is Aser B'Hana'ah, correct? Why? It says, Lo Ye'achel Chametz. Is that Chizki or Rabbi Avahu? What?
Both of them?
Both of them? You can't be both.
Why not?
Well, it says lo ye achel chametz.
Right, but doesn't Rabbi Bahu use that same concept? He just learned it a different way.
I thought Rabbi Avohu says when the Torah says lo yocha, lo tocha, lo tochlu, right? Lo ye achel is the nif'al, right? You shouldn't have any. Right, you shouldn't have any heter.
Right, but is it not the same?
Right, because.
So they probably use a different custom when it comes to covenants. I thought it was the same covenant, because that anytime it says any of these versions, it doesn't have to do with the fact that it's nifal.
Well, the Gemara says that Rabbi Avohu disagrees with Chizkiya. According to Chizkiya, lo ye achel means you should not have any heter achila. And as Rashi commented, hana'ah comes lidei achila, right? Rabbi Avohu basically says, I'm not talking about chametz anymore, I'm talking about kol ha'Torah kula. And it says, lo yochal, lo tochal, etc. And that tells me, iser hana'ah. Right? Ki kol ochel machmetzet. Right? The Torah uses an expression of achila. It's not because of the nif'al. According to Chizkiya, it's because of the nif'al. Now, I recognize that there are contradictions in the Rambam. But if I hold like Chizkiya, and I think the Rambam in Perek Aleph of Chametz Umatzah is saying Chizkiya, not Rabbi Avohu, right? Isn't his language exactly Chizkiya's language? Lo ye achel, lo yehe bo heter achila. Go to the Gemara. Amar Chizkiya, lo ye achel, lo yehe bo heter achila. Right? The Rambam's lashon is cut and pasted from Chizkiya in the Gemara. Now, let's plug it back in. Our Gemara that has a kasha, what about Gid Hanasha? Our Gemara is working within Rabbi Avohu. We have a question. According to Rabbi Avohu, when the Torah says Achila, it should mean Iser Hana'ah also. What about Gid Hanasha? Shouldn't Gid Hanasha be Aser B'Hana'ah? So the Gemara says, well, Gid Hanasha is included in the Vela. Right? And then we get into Yesh beginning Nosin Tam, Ein beginning Nosin Tam. But if I hold like Chizkiya, my entire Gemara does not get off the ground. Right? The Gemara is not speaking Chizkiya language. If the Rambam would paskin like Chizkiya, which I have some evidence for in this one Rambam, Perek Aleph of Chametz Umatzah Halacha Beis. It happens the Rambam in Perek Ches of Macholos Asuras Halacha Tesvav really sounds like Rabbi Avohu, and you have to deal with that contradiction in the Rambam. But if I hold like Chizkiya, I basically solved my Gid Hanasha problem. Is that reasonable?
Yeah, but what does Chizkiya do about any other?
So Chizkiya is going to tell me that all the other cases, again, we'll have to go on in the Gemara. Chizkiya says that stuff is, that all other Isuri Hanah we're going to learn from an other Psukim. That will come up in the Gemara.
He doesn't have it. Rabbi Avohu has a catch-all for all other.
There's no catch-all. Rabbi Avohu is the catch-all that lo yochal means everything. Chizkiya is not a catch-all. Nachon. So that's my third approach to the Rambam. Right? Again, the Magen Mishnah says, forget about Chofei Zaman Aleph, there's going to be a later Gemara. We have this approach that maybe according to the Rambam, there's zero flavor in Gid Hanasha. Consequently, there cannot possibly be an Isser Hana'ah. I have a Rambam that sounds like maybe he paskins like Chizkiya. I also have a comment of Rabbeinu Chananel on our Gemara, which is very different than the way we've been learning the Gemara until now. Did any of you have a chance to look at the Rabbeinu Chananel? Okay, what did Rabbeinu Chananel say?
Well, he doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda.
He doesn't mention Rabbi Yehuda.
He focuses on Rabbi Shimon. That's about all we
have. Okay.
Also, we had different versions.
Oh, yeah, we did have different versions.
You don't have the same Rabbi Yochanan on the two?
I had an extra, like, sentence.
Which Gemara do you have? Which Gemara do you have? You have... It could be that in the newer Gemaras, they added some stuff. That's an Ozra Hadar, that's a... Right? You have a traditional Gemara in front of you, a Jewish Gemara, right? The Jewish Gemara. Let's read this Rabbeinu Chananel together, ladies. I always find, by the way, I find like these types of shiur when like some of the students are on Zoom and others are in person. I'm never sure who to focus on. So the fact that I didn't look at the screen for like the last 5 minutes doesn't mean I'm ignoring you. It just means that I'm used to saying shiur with people in the room and not focusing on the screen. So ladies, do you have a Rabbeinu Chananel? Good? Let's take a look. Umosvinan l'Rabbi Avahu. Right? I have the word umosvinan as like a bolded word. Umosvinan l'Rabbi Avahu. We ask a kashkan l'Rabbi Avahu. Hare gid ha-nosha d'chsive lo yolchal. V'hu mutter b'hano'a. D'tnan shaleach adam yerech shigir ha-nosha b'tocho. Right? Gid ha-nosha is mutter b'hano'a. I know that because you're allowed to send a gid ha-nosha sheh. You're allowed to send the thigh of an animal with the gid ha-nosha into it to a goy. Vishaninon, and we answer, Kosava Rabbi Avahu, Kesha Hutra Hanavela, he Vichalba Vigida Hutra, Ki Hanavela Kemos Shehi, Vichalba Vigida Hutra Lehi Macher Lenachri. What does that mean? Rabbi Avahu is saying that when the Torah tells me that you're allowed to sell the nevela to a goy, that means sell the entire nevela to a goy, the entire animal which has a gid hanosha in it. So far, so good. The akshinan. What? Oh, this is where you're different?
Yeah, I have the Kalva Vigida Hutra Lihima Kerlin of the Lihina Thing Log Matana, Kyotsebo Kol Pele of Kol Vigim Shadola.
That's interesting. That's Mamsha extra. I don't think it changes that much.
I don't think it changes anything.
Can you read it again? Like,
yeah. Kihana Vela Kumo, Shahi, the Kalva Vigida Hutra Lihima Kerlin of
That's really cool. Okay. I don't think it changes much, but yeah, you actually have an extra line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably isn't Jewish line.
Probably a Jewish line.
No, I said probably is not. Like it was probably from a scribe and not necessarily a Jewish scribe.
Uh-huh.
That's just
okay. She just wants my Gemara not to be Jewish. She's very happy.
I mean, let's be honest, okay? We're not recording this right now. But, like, women learning Gemara is just not Jewish, right? Fair point? Okay. Weiter. I got a smile out of you, Ms. Verschleiser. Good. Weiter. The Akshinan, right? The Rabbi Yochanan continues. Eini shagidim hutru b'nevela. Is it true that gidim is mutru b'nevela? V'hatitnena v'achaloksev. Lo hutar ella midi debar achila. V'gidim lav b'nei achila ninhu. Deles behu b'nosein tam. So, Rabbi Yochanan's take on this Gemara is that our question is not whether the gid has the flavor of basar or doesn't have the flavor of basar. Is the gid included in the Isser when I eat skid, or is it not included? Right? That's kind of tangential. The real point in the Gemara, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, is, you know, the Torah says you can sell a nevela to a goy. That means the entire nevela can be sold to the goy. So that means that gid is included in the nevela. But the Gemara backs out, and the Gemara says, no, maybe gid is not included in the nevela, because what the Torah is saying is, lager asher b'sharecha titnena va'achala, that you are giving it or selling it, whatever, to the goy to eat it. Meaning only the part of that nevela which is going to be eaten, only that part is the issue that I'm addressing. And the gid might not be bichlal the nevela that is eaten. Meaning, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that when the Torah writes, give the nevela to a ger, and the ger eats it, that means give the nevela to the ger, and the ger will eat the entire nevela. If there's any part of the nevela that the ger is not going to eat, so that cannot be part of the heter of the pasuk. And since the gid hanoshe is in begid benosein tam, so when I give the nevela to the ger, the gid hanoshe is not part of the va'achala of that. So therefore, gid hanoshe cannot be part of the heter nevela. The Rabbeinu Chananel was telling me that really our Gemara is discussing giving a nevela to a ger, and is the gid hanoshe included in that nevela which you give to the ger? That's the issue.
So
Rabbeinu Chananel is going to say, of course you give the whole nevela to the ger, but I don't care about the gid hanoshe because that's not part of the nevela that we care about. We care about titnena va'achala. We only care about the part of the nevela that the ger is going to eat. And the gid hanoshe is not going to be eaten. Right? That's the back and forth in the Gemara.
Basically, it's just not a good spara that you would include the gid hanoshe. Like, you would include, like, it's physically there, but that you would...
It's physically there, but I discount it because that's not the part that the ger, the goy, is going to enjoy. And therefore, that's not the part that the Torah is talking about. The Torah is saying you give the whole animal, the whole nevela, to the ger. But the gid hanoshe isn't included because it's not in ba'achala. Adina?
Is that including the chalev as well?
So the chalev they could eat. Do people eat chalev? What? It is the fat, but sometimes people eat the fat. Yeah. I mean, a good piece of pastrami has a lot of fat on it.
But this doesn't solve the wrong one.
So let's go slowly. So it's possible that the Rambam is learning our Gemara the same as the Rabbeinu Chananel until that last knesh of the Rabbeinu Chananel. Meaning, Rabbeinu Chananel is saying that titnena va'achala means you have to eat the whole thing. The Rambam might say titnena va'achala means you give it so that they could eat some of it, not that they eat the whole thing. When our Gemara says, if you hold that ein begidin benosein tam, therefore gid hanoshe has to be osir b'hano'ah, because gid is not included in the vela. For the Rabbeinu Chananel, gid is not included in the vela just because it's not including the word va'achala. The Rambam is going to say, no, I will say that va'achala means you eat it, but you don't eat the whole thing. Think about it. I give a nevela to a ger. The nevela includes the hooves of the animal. Does anyone eat an animal hoof? Again? In soup. Okay, so there's got to be some part of the animal that no one eats. Okay, be creative on me. Right? So it's not the hoof. Right? There's got to be something that no one eats.
No, because people eat the tail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great thing of Pesachim, right? That they gave the tail to that guy.
I mean,
right?
The bones.
What? The bones. Right, some of the bones. So bones, you
could eat the bone marrow, but they don't necessarily eat the bone.
Right? If you would cook the bone long enough, it might be edible. Is there anything of the animal that's completely not edible?
Well, there's bones. What does edible mean? Like, is it, like, what I'm saying that you use in soup, when right now, you're not, like, just chewing on it.
Okay. I think you're saying the same thing as your chavrusa.
Yeah.
Right? Can you hear your chavrusa, by the way? You can hear. Okay. But
the
what?
I would say the nose or the skull.
The skull.
Something like the sinuses, something.
Right, the gray matter inside the skull. Again, we're getting too disgusting. I really don't like this conversation anymore. This is like
how we felt yesterday about the pizza.
Right. Well, we spoke. Yeah. I apologize for the goriness of this.
I like it. I think it's
interesting. Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you. But the point that we're getting at is it could be that the whole issue of whether yesh begidim b'no sein tam or ein begidim b'no sein tam, that issue that comes up in the Gemara, the way Rabbeinu Chananel is understanding it, the issue is like a technicality. It's because, well, the Torah says you give it in order to eat it, and if ein b'no sein tam, so mamele you're not going to eat it, and he's understanding ba'achalah means you have to eat the whole thing. The Rambam is going to say that position is untenable. You have to eat the whole thing. That's not why anyone gives a behema. You don't give a nevela to eat the whole thing. That's not the way Judaism works. That's not the way Goyishism works. That's not the way, it just don't work like that. That's the point. That's the point, I think, that we want to bring out. So I have four approaches to answer this Rambam. Right? Again, the Rambam paskins that in begin min osin tam. Even so, the Rambam paskins that gira nosh is mutter b'hanu'ah. Right? That's against our Gemara. The Ramban, quoted in the Magen Mishnah, says, yes, it's against our Gemara, but there's a Gemara in Daf Kaf Beis. We had the approach of Rebbe Chanan and others who say, well, if you hold that in begin min osin tam means that there's zero taste, the way we understood it, if there's zero taste, so then memela, there can't be a nisar hana'a. Right? That's what we spoke about. By the way, this idea, that approach number two that we said, that if there's zero taste, there can't be an isar hana'a, because the isar hana'a is only an extension of isar achila, it's a little bit against the Tosfos that we spoke about last night. Because Tosfos seems to be going in the opposite direction. Tosfos says, if there is no hana'a, so our karchacha, when the Torah uses the word achila, it can't mean hana, it has to mean only achila. Right? What we're saying is if there is no hana'a at all, so there cannot be, 1 second, is it the same thing? I just lost my train of thought. The isra hana is an outgrowth of the isra achila, because achila means that I get pleasure from eating it. If it's the type of thing that I get no pleasure from eating, so therefore there can't be an Isser Hana'a. And that's what we said. That could work in Tosis. No, it's the opposite of Tosis, right? Here, look at the Tosis. Tosis writes, since Ein Begidim B'no Sein Tam, it's a Sebara, then it has to be Osir B'Hana'a. Right? We're saying that ein begidin b'no sein tam, if it has no taste at all, so memela, it can't possibly be aser b'hana'a. Right? What we just suggested is the opposite of the Tosfos. If I confused you, it's fine. Don't worry about it. The point is we have four approaches. Approach one is that forget about Chof Beis Amar Aleph. Approach two is that if the definition of Ein Begin Menos in time is that doesn't taste like anything, so Memela, it cannot be Osir Bahana'a. Approach three is that maybe the Rambam passes like Chizkiyah. Approach four is what we suggested based on the Rabbeinu Hananel, but we pointed out a weak point in the Rabbeinu Hananel, that Rabbeinu Hananel's understanding of Ba'achalam means you eat the whole animal, including the gid, and maybe the Rambam disagrees precisely about that Nakuda. Right? That was the four approaches that we presented. Now,
what Rambam is like a direct and so we're like the Rabbeinu Hananel, no?
Only in, again, Rabbeinu Hananel is kind of the Rebbe of the Rif, and the Rambam is a Talmud of his father, who's a Talmud of the Rimagash. The Rimagash is a Talmud of the Rif.
Okay.
And so it's like a great-great-grandfather.
Right, but that's like...
Possible. Again, I don't know. Okay, the big mystery is, which Perushim, if any, did the Rambam learn when he learned Gemara? Right, that's one of the great things about the Rambam is you're accessing the Gemara without Rashi. We get blinded to what the Gemara means because we're stuck on Rashi. Right, the Rambam learned the Gemara clearly without Rashi. That much I know. Did the Rambam have Rabbeinu Hananel? Rabbeinu Hananel did write a running commentary on Shas. Did the Rambam have it? I don't know. I don't know if the Rambam had it. Did the Rambam draw upon the same tradition that Rabbeinu Hananel is drawing upon? Absolutely. The thing is, though, the Rambam most often rejected that tradition. Right? The Rabbeinu Hananel is an extension of that Gaonic tradition. The way Dr. Soloveitchik says it in his articles, that the Rambam's objective was Tanakh, I forgot the term, like the Talmud, off its Gaonic moorings. That's the way he says it. The Rambam thought that people, the Rambam will explicitly disagree with the Gaonim all the time. He like never agrees with the Gaonim. Okay, so these are the four approaches. I wanted to talk about Dam, but we're not going to get there tonight. Did any of you have a chance to read the Gemara about Dam yet? Okay, so Amir Tzashem, I'll have to give more Marim Akomos for Monday. I'm going to try to go through Dam relatively quickly. The next big sugya is a Lifnei Iver sugya. The top tesis on Chof Beis Amid Beis is a Lifnei Iver sugya. So I'm going to give some Marim Akomos about that. So we'll talk next time about Dam and about Lifnei Iver. And I should wish everyone a good Shabbos. And... it's snowing. Apparently, it's going to snow tomorrow.
Yeah.
So while you just...
So why the Beit Midrash will remain open.
The Beit Midrash will remain open. Excellent. Listen, honestly, you guys live up here. You could come and learn in this Beit Midrash. It's really...